Welcome to the Paranet UFO Continuum, a one-hour program dedicated to a very strange phenomena, unidentified flying objects. Whether or not you believe UFOs exist, the controversy is real, and this program will try to get to the bottom of it. Your host is Michael Corbin, Director of Paranet Information Services, a global communications network based near Denver, Colorado, dedicated to the investigation of UFOs. We invite you to keep an open mind as we discuss one of the most fascinating and strange subjects in the world. Here's your host, Michael Corbin.
In the past few weeks, we have talked about the mysterious cattle mutilation phenomena, which continues plaguing ranchers in the San Luis Valley of southern Colorado, not to mention other places like Alabama and more recently in Las Vegas, Nevada. Our guest tonight is a veteran investigator of over 20 years. He resides in Texas, where a fair share of the strange mutilations have occurred. He has worked with law enforcement authorities, cattlemen, and others, and has some very interesting information to share with us tonight. Do cattle mutilations represent an alien harvest, or is it something more down to earth? We will explore these and other questions in a moment. And also, later this hour, we'll visit with what might be the best described as a UFO restaurant and motel. It's called the Little Ailey Inn, and it's located in Rachel, Nevada, about 30 miles away from the mysterious government land known as Area 51. That's where a top-secret government base is located, and many researchers believe that UFO technology is examined there. The Little Ailey Inn is a favorite hangout spot for people who work at the base and for others who search the skies for UFOs. We'll talk with the owner of the bar and motel, Pat Travis, later on. Okay, let's move on. We want to welcome back our affiliates this evening, KNRY in Monterey, California, KTMS, Santa Barbara, California, KBIM in Roswell, New Mexico, KCRT in Trinidad, Colorado, WROK in Rockford, Illinois, and KNUS in Denver, Colorado, and KLOV in Loveland, Colorado. Welcome aboard, and we're glad you're with us. Our talk line number tonight is 800-UFO-2009. That's 1-800-836-2009. I kind of like to hear from someone in Roswell tonight to let us know what is going on down there. Most people know, Hard Copy ran a segment detailing some videotape that was taken down there, some pretty unusual things that you guys have seen down there. We want to hear about it. Some news bites off of the Paranet Information Services Network. The first story comes from an investigator, Chris Rutkowski, in Canada. Chris writes to us and he says, "Why do scientists try to avoid reporters asking them about UFOs? Because they usually end up getting misquoted. I was just quoted in a wire service story about a study on UFO reports," Rutkowski writes, "and no less than the local wire service bureau chief was given a prepared written statement on his position on the subject, yet the article contained a bad misquote." Chris also says that "I was describing why UFOs seem to belong in the area of social sciences than the physical sciences," and he wrote, "if UFOs do not represent alien visitation and is popularly conceived," and it goes on to say, "but the actual article that was printed states, if the UFOs do not represent alien visitations and is properly conceived," Rutkowski says he immediately called the Bureau to complain, but of course the wire services do not make retractions or corrections as a rule. And even when they do, the media almost never prints the correction. Who needs the UFO buffs and paranormal believers to make silly statements in the media when the reporters mess up rational commentary? Which gives him pause to wonder, how accurate are the other stories we read in the newspapers or see on TV? We have a good idea of the answer, but this gives us a benchmark, and I have to agree with him. Also, you might want to take down a little information on an upcoming conference that has to do with the monuments of Mars, Richard Hoagland, and the mysterious Mars face phenomena. Is going to be presented by the Mid-Ohio Research Associates and the Ohio State University branch of the American Institute of Aeronautics and Astronautics. The findings of the Mars mission scientists over the last 11 years has been nothing short of phenomenal. Over the last several years, Hoagland has briefed all major NASA facilities. In February of 92, he briefed the United Nations. During the week of May 9th, he will be briefing the White House, and his briefings in Columbus on May 25th and 26th will be the first public presentations of the White House briefing. This is a major coup for the city of Columbus. If you're interested in attending that conference or getting information, you need to contact Frank Reams at 614-855-7136. Okay, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to bring our guest up, and our subject tonight is cattle mutilations. 1-800-836-2009 is our number. Give us a call. We'll be right back.
The Paranet UFO Continuum, in conjunction with MICAP, the Multinational Investigations Cooperative on Aerial Phenomena, is pleased to offer a portable kit containing everything you need when you come across something unusual in the sky. This kit comes in a sturdy metal box with a lock and contains binoculars, microcassette recorder, FM walkie-talkies, water-filled compass, 16mm telephoto camera with 1600-speed film, sample bags, notebook, paper and pen, high-intensity flashlight, and official MICAP sighting report forms. The normal price of this complete kit is $289, but for a limited time, you can order it for only $250, plus $10 shipping and handling. To order, call Paranet at 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-UFO-NET-1. And ask for the UT-1 kit. Paranet, your window on the universe, with products and services unparalleled in the world today. Again, call 1-800-UFO-NET-1.
Vince, could you help me with this microphone?
Microphone? Larry, what are you going to be, the world's first crooning crack dummy?
No, I'm working on some impersonations that'll help us get across our buckle up message.
Impersonations? Well, let me hear them.
Okay, I'm new at this, but here goes.
Now, don't tell me. A four-car pileup.
Right. How about this?
An airbag. Larry, I felt like I was in the car myself.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Here's my favorite.
Let me see. A fractured leg, a fractured jaw. No, a fractured skull.
Exactly. Yeah. But you know the one thing there isn't any imitation for, Vince? Safety belts.
Yeah, there is nothing like good old safety belts when it comes to keeping you safe on the road.
And saving lives.
Right. Hey, Larry, how about one more impersonation?
Well, okay. You dirty rat.
Larry!
Hey, you gotta give your audience what they want.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and the Department of Transportation.
This is the Paranet UFO Continuum, a weekly program dedicated to the mysterious and fascinating world of UFOs. If you're interested in learning more about Paranet, the world's foremost communications network dealing with the UFO phenomena, call us at area 303-429-2654 or write to Box 172, Wheat Ridge, Colorado, 80034. Once again, here's your host, Michael Corbin.
And tonight our guest is 20-year veteran, at least 20 years, as I know him. His name is Tom Adams. Tom is in Texas, in Paris, Texas, and is going to talk to us tonight about his research into cattle mutilations. Are you with us, Tom?
Sure am, Michael. Hello.
Hello, and thank you for being with us on the Paranet UFO Continuum tonight.
It's my pleasure.
Tom, give us a little background about your research and what kind of got you into it.
Well, I know there is a lot to get into here and not much time to get into it, so I'll try to encapsulate kind of not only what I've been doing, but the mutilation phenomena as a whole. In 73 and 74, there were mutilation reports in the Midwest, Nebraska, Missouri, Iowa, that part of the country. And in late 74, they began to move into, among other areas, Colorado and here in Texas. And I began to take special note of those in this area, of course, and at that time began to look at them in some detail. And Then as 75 wore on, there was just a tremendous onslaught of cases all across the country.
Uh-huh.
And in 1978, I finally formed what I call Project Stigma, which is just an independent investigation which attempted to collect and assimilate mutilation reports and distribute them out to law enforcement and investigators who had an interest in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's pretty much what I've been doing, following it ever since. And in spite of some references you'll see elsewhere that the mutilations are essentially a thing of the past, they're not.
They're still ongoing.
Right. They certainly peaked in the 70s. 75, in fact, was really quite an incredible year, which at some point will need to be properly documented. But since then, they've continued not in in nearly as big an array across the country, but more or less in isolated pockets here and there,
okay,
from time to time.
All right. 1-800-UFO-2009. That's 1-800-836-2009. That's our call and talk line. Give us a call. Talk to our guest, Tom Adams. And, Tom, we're going to go to the phones. We've already got a call from John in Roswell. Good evening, John.
Yeah, hello, Tom. That's John Price with the UFO Enigma Museum.
Hello, John. Good to talk to you.
Yeah. What's the latest on the mutilations that's going on up around Alabama in that area?
Well, I haven't heard much from Alabama lately. Of course, it was late 92 and into the spring of 93 when there was quite a bit of mutilation and UFO and helicopter activity in two counties in northern Alabama. And as far as I can determine, it's pretty much died down now. If there are reports, I'm not hearing about them. But they were pretty well documented. There were quite a few TV reports. Even CNN covered it. But I just haven't heard much out of there in the last, say, last summer.
Now, Tom, as you mentioned to me earlier, you're particularly interested in the incidents of helicopter reports that are associated with these, correct?
Right. Again, what happened in 73 is just rather interesting. You know, 73 was the last so-called great UFO flap year, whatever connection there is there. But also in 73, again, in the Midwest, there were reports of rustlings, livestock rustling. And in association with these rustlings were reports of helicopters. And suddenly, in about the spring of 73, there began to be mutilations reported. But then again, you also had the reports of helicopters.
Mm-hmm.
And so in 75, again, when they started here in Texas, we had a lot of helicopter reports in and around the areas where the mutilations were occurring, and it caught my attention. So since then, I've tried to monitor that particular aspect of it and ended up publishing a couple of monographs on it. And we've got probably a couple hundred cases now where, again, helicopters have been reported either just before or just after a mutilation. And they're not always just flyovers. Sometimes they land in pastures. There may be any number of 5 to 7 helicopters at once, and they're chased by law enforcement people. And, of course, they never can find out where they're coming from. So I really feel like this is a very important aspect of this situation, although I also have to point out that although we may have a couple hundred cases where helicopters are involved, in the majority of cases, no one sees anything, no one hears anything.
Sure.
But still, I feel that the helicopter aspect is very important and that the data we have now suggests it's way beyond coincidence.
Okay. John, are you still with us?
Yeah.
I'm curious to know, I'm going to ask you now a question. What's going on down there with the continued ongoing sightings of a UFO?
Well, we did have some sightings March 5th up around Midway here, pretty close to Roswell, and the latest on that has been analyzed by three or four professionals in the field, one of them being Jeff Sano with MUFON.
Uh-huh.
And what we can find out so far, we haven't gotten anything back in writing, but it's some of the most incredible footage that's ever been taken.
Okay, now let me ask you a question. I take it you've seen the footage.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I showed it to a friend of mine who has a scientific background. He suggested it might... does anybody have any reports of how fast this object might have been traveling?
I haven't gotten anything in writing yet. Some of this stuff is really moving on at a pretty fantastic speed. There is one airplane that is in one shot there that's traveling along pretty good, and this thing just passes it up, kind of lays over and turns sideways and takes off.
Yeah, I have to admit the footage is quite incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any other questions for our guest tonight, John?
Yeah, Tom, with the cattle mutilations, we get a lot of people who, you know, when we try to explain to them about the cattle mutilations, they think it's connected with satanic worship and stuff like this. The helicopter sightings and all of this, that pretty much just rules that completely out, right?
I would say so. It'd be difficult to imagine if you want to call it a cult, satanic cult or organization that would have the manpower and the facilities to run a fleet of helicopters, because there have been all kinds of different types of helicopters and sizes. And of course, and again, they're reported across a wide section of the country. It's not like just in the Rockies or just here in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be difficult to imagine, you know, just a weekend group of cultists that would be able to carry this out.
Okay. Great. John, thank you very much for your call. We hope you continue listening to the program.
Okay.
Our number is 1-800-UFO-2009, 1-800-836-2009. My guest tonight is Tom Adams. He's a veteran researcher in Paris, Texas, who has been looking into the mysterious mutilation of cattle and other animals. And, Tom, getting back to the helicopter thing, we got about 30 seconds before we got to go to a break, but what the gentleman just called, John, was saying something about the possibility that rules out, because of the helicopters, satanic cults. When we come back from the break, I want to kind of elaborate on that, because we've heard some interesting things on this end. So we'll be right back with the Paranet UFO Continuum. I'm Michael Corbin, your guest, and or your host, and our guest tonight is Tom Adams. Sit tight, and we will be right back.
Paranet Information Services is your electronic window on the world of UFOs, accessible by computer and modem. Paranet keeps you up to date on the world pulse of ufology, with sighting reports, interesting findings, and general discussion on the mysterious UFO enigma. Paranet features one of the most comprehensive text file libraries in the world on the paranormal, available for a small online fee. So plug into power and knowledge through Paranet. The BBS number is available 24 hours a day. Call the data line at area 303-429-2713. That's 303-429-2713. Or for more information, contact Paranet Information Services at area 303-429-2654. That's 303-429-2654.
Pilots, when you fly, you need convenient, accurate information for safe flight and landing operations, as well as local businesses that can provide you with the services and treatment you deserve. The Skyway Publications Airport Directory and Entertainment Guides are what you need. These free, pocket-sized guides give you information you need about large and small airports all over the country. Information like radio channels, runway systems, coordinates, and taxiways, as well as fuel and aircraft services provided at the airport, along with local businesses catering to private pilots. It's yours free. Ask the fixed space operator at your favorite stops to carry the Skyway Airport Directory and Entertainment Guides, or call area 303-669-1800. That's 303-669-1800. Skyway Publications, your ticket to safer, cheaper, and more convenient flight. Again, talk to the FBO at your favorite destinations, or call Skyway Publications at 303-669-1800.
You're listening to one of the most unusual programs you'll ever hear. It's the Paranet UFO Continuum, and it deals with one of the most fascinating subjects around. Once again, here's your host, the director of Paranet Information Services, Michael Corbin.
1-800-UFO-2009, 1-800-836-2009. My guest tonight is Tom Adams. Tom is a cattle mutilation researcher, and welcome back, Tom.
Thank you, Michael.
Okay, we really left at the break to talk about the possible connection of satanic cults. I'm particularly fascinated by cattle mutilations myself, simply because last year in Fairplay, Colorado, we had a case that we investigated, and the sheriff down there, after interviewing him and spending some time with him, was convinced that the mutilation occurred due to the action of a satanic cult. I will say that the wounds on the animal appeared to be the classic mutilation kind, but why do you rule out satanic cults?
Well, I'm not going to rule them out entirely because we know there are cults, if you want to call them that, or groups of people who are engaged in what most people would consider aberrant practices, where animals indeed are mutilated, mostly smaller animals, but sometimes possibly livestock. But again, the question has to be asked, you know, is that going to explain the whole scope and breadth of the classic animal mutilation phenomenon as we see it? And I just don't think so. Again, I think that may be the case in some isolated areas. And I know in a lot of areas where sheriffs will investigate and they don't seem to be able to come up with any other explanation, they generally tend to fall back on the possibility of satanic cults.
Okay.
Because to their mind, there's just no other possibility.
Okay. For our listeners, Tom, tell us from your standpoint, you know, the years' experience that you have with this, what is the best theory that you have, you know, for what this is?
I would say at this point I have no best theory.
Okay.
Because I have attempted, rather than starting with a theory and then seeking the data, even subconsciously seeking that data which might support my theory, I really tried, and it's not all that easy. I really tried to remain objective, and because it's a very complicated and almost disorienting situation. There's a lot of contradictory evidence out there, and evidence to support any number of several different theories, but it's all got to come together in some fashion. And I really try to stay away from opinionating so much and just more or less let the data, let the evidence draw its own conclusions for us.
Okay, what's that show? What's the evidence so far show?
Well, certainly the question is often asked, how is it possible that a human agency can carry out this many operations for so many years without anyone being caught or captured or filmed or videotaped or whatever, documented in some fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And when that question is asked, you wonder, well, if there's no human agency that can do that, that leads us elsewhere. And certainly I'm open to the possibility. I'm also involved very deeply in UFO research and different aspects of it, and I can certainly see the possibilities here. And when you have cases like Linda Howe has three separate cases that she's published where multiple witnesses have seen not only aliens, but aliens engaged in either mutilating animals or about to mutilate animals. And certainly if cases like that, and if there are others, and if they stand up to scrutiny, that's pretty much going to lead us down that path. And at the same time, though, I cannot rule out entirely the possibility that human agencies are involved to some extent in at least some mutilations.
Okay.
We do have the technology, in spite of what some people might think, to carry out some of these things which people say, well, we don't have the technology, like lasers or portable lasers. There's an article in the current UFO magazine about this. That,
right. Mm-hmm.
There's a new small portable laser that can be carried into the field. The helicopters, which are often reported as silent, there is a technology that can explain that. So, again, there are those possibilities. But, again, the people who say, well, it's obviously aliens, they can provide evidence which tends to support their position also.
Okay, now, a couple weeks ago we had Chris O'Brien on. I know you're familiar with Chris.
Sure.
What, Chris has got some reports of human involvement where witnesses have seen human beings perpetrating this damage or inflicting damage on an animal. You mentioned earlier that you did say that there has been perhaps this kind of thing going on. Are you suggesting that this thing might be multi-level? There might be many different, different agencies involved, and agencies not necessarily government agencies, but agencies as in possibly superhuman agencies.
Well, I just think we should leave our options open because, again, there's so much seemingly contradictory information that it's really dangerous to jump to conclusions at this point.
Uh-huh.
I think it's very possible there may be more than one, quote, explanation, unquote,
okay,
for what we're seeing.
Let's look at it from this scenario, okay? What could they possibly, or when I say they, again, we're not identifying anybody, but it makes no sense to me to just take an animal, if you're going to do something like that, to throw it back out unless it's for our benefit to see it.
I think that's a very important point. A lot of these animals, and there's a great deal of evidence which tends to support the idea that at least a lot of the animals are taken. Taken, and whatever is done to them is done to them, and they're brought back. And if they're taken, why bring them back? Yeah, why not either take them somewhere, drop them in a canyon or an arroyo where no one will ever find them? But they don't do that. They're brought back seemingly to be found. And that and other aspects of it lend an air of theatricality
okay.
to the whole thing.
Are you familiar with a case that occurred in Briggsdale, Colorado in 1981?
Yes, if you mean the... the case involving the science teacher.
Right, that's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that one, for me, holds some very important data.
Absolutely.
Namely, the research that this person did, I won't mention her name, but the research that she did, she found that the sample of tissue that she had taken showed no cellular disruption whatsoever. And she also found some unusual constituents in the blood. Now, the question I have is this. We hear from other researchers that they've never discovered that type of finding in the tissue sample. Now, as many people will know, you know, talking about the no cellular disruption, what that means basically, and as this person described it, it was as if the tissue grew up to this point and just stopped, and there was no damage to any of the cells in the cut whatsoever. I find that hard to believe. She finds it impossible technologically, at least from where she stands.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the deal is, what do you say to that, Tom?
Well, it's unfortunate, of course, that this hasn't been reproduced in other cases. Of course, maybe it hasn't been looked for. Of course, that one problem is you pretty much got to get to the tissue when it's fairly fresh
uh-huh.
to really determine anything like this, whether this is simply an isolated case. Certainly, if it's true, it's very important, immensely so. And, of course, just as a little sidebar to that story, you know, she took some samples from the site and had them in her science lab at school, and the lab was broken into one night, and all the samples were taken. So she went to the site and retrieved other samples the next day, and she put dummy samples in the same places she had the original samples. The lab was broken into, and all the dummy samples were taken. But, of course, she did have the hide sample, which was left over, that she was able to look at
mm-hmm.
and where she noted the cellular separation.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, it's unfortunate this hasn't been repeated. You know, this finding hasn't been repeated. It would be even more important if that were the case. Right now, it's just it's an interesting story.
Okay. Well, I have to agree with you, and it's quite the mystery.
And, again, you know, thinking in terms of how the incisions were done, and this also, again, brings in the inconsistency. As you probably know, Dr. John Altshuler has found many cases involving high heat
mm-hmm.
in the areas of the incisions, although there have been some cases he's found, one in Oklahoma, which didn't have any high heat, apparently. And there have been cases where there's been singeing and burning of the tissue, many areas where there hasn't been that. So, again, there's no hard and fast group of characteristics you can really ascribe to these. They're just... it's confusing.
Very confusing. Are you actively involved in the research still to this day, Tom?
Well, sure. I'm trying to keep up with it as best I can. Like I said, they're not happening in the way they were happening in the 70s, where they were all over the place. They're just in little pockets now. I guess the most recent cases I've heard of, outside of northern New Mexico, which Chris O'Brien's investigating with some other people,
mm-hmm.
there have been some cases in southeastern Nebraska, late last year, northwestern Minnesota, South Dakota. And again, they'll die out, and then they'll pop up in some other area.
Okay.
And by the time anyone tries to get in depth into that area, they're gone.
Okay. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest tonight. We're going to. Do you have a publication that you're doing?
Yes, I do. I have some that I have prepared now, and I have some that I'm working on.
Okay, give us your address real quick, so our listeners.
Okay, it's Project Stigma, STIGMA, PO Box 1094, in Paris, Texas. 75461.
Okay, Tom, and thank you very much, and keep up the good work and keep us informed, okay?
My pleasure, Michael.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good night. Okay, when we come back from our break, we're going to have Pat Travis, the owner of the Little Ailey Inn up there in Rachel, Nevada. Stay tuned. We'll be right back for the Paranet UFO Continuum. I'm Michael Corbin.
Get the latest UFO news delivered right to your door with Continuum, the official quarterly publication of Paranet Information Services. Continuum offers a serious look at the world of ufology through hard news reports and interesting and provocative interviews with leading ufologists and investigators. There's a source and resource section to help you locate information on UFOs, plus much, much more. Each issue is also packed with information from the Paranet Information Services International Communications Network. So be informed with this comprehensive publication. Subscribe now and receive 5 issues for the price of 4. Send check or money order for $18 to Continuum, Box 172, Wheat Ridge, Colorado, 80034. That's Continuum, Box 172, Wheat Ridge, Colorado, 80034. Do it now.
This is Fred Hayes. In 1970, I was a lunar module pilot for Apollo 13. During that mission, an onboard explosion caused us to abort our lunar landing. Our safe return home involved many workarounds. It underlined how important the human element is to space exploration. The space station is America's next step in manned space flight. If we're not careful, however, that important program could be canceled. $7 will be returned for every dollar spent on the effort. That's quite an important investment for the future and to provide knowledge essential to the future of spaceship Earth. Some experts say that without the space station, we will have no manned space program. That would be a tragedy for our nation and a retreat from the progressive achievements of the past 3 decades. For information on how you can support the space station, call 1-800-84-SPACE. That's 1-800-84-SPACE.
Are UFOs for real, or are they just fiction? To find out, stay with us for more of the Paranet UFO Continuum with your host, Michael Corbin.
1-800-UFO-2009 is the number. 1-800-836-2009. Okay, my next guest comes from a small, otherwise scarcely known town, which neighbors an Area 51, which is gaining increased notoriety. In the past, the town of Rachel, Nevada, was simply an oasis for the very occasional desert wayfarer, consisting of a few trailer homes and the only gas, food, and lodging for miles. Few citizens would have ever expected this tiny haven to become an active point of interest, drawing tourism, research, news media, and curiosity hunting to such a remote region, or for such a remote reason. Aliens? Aliens. Rachel's mysterious neighbor is the U.S. Air Force. The U.S. Air Force has claimed to be secretly testing flying saucers in an area just over the Groom Lake Mountains from Rachel. My next guest tonight is Pat Travis, owner of the Little Ailey Inn. Pat, are you there?
Yes, I am, Michael.
Welcome to our program.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you asking me to be a guest.
Well, we're happy to have you. When did you start calling it the Little Ailey Inn?
In 1990.
Okay.
And Prior to that, it was the Rachel Bar and Grill.
Okay. All right. And how close are you to the infamous Area 51?
It's probably 30 miles to Area 51, but the viewing area that a lot of people use is only about 18 miles from here.
Okay. Tell us about the UFO-type decorations you have there.
Well, I have a lot of photographs that were taken from the mailbox area right across the hill from us.
Now, Pat, for our listeners, the mailbox area, is that the infamous black mailbox, I think?
That is the infamous black mailbox.
Okay, and what happens there?
Well, people just stay right near that area.
Mm-hmm.
There are other points, but that one's had more photographs taken from right there than any other that we've known about.
Okay.
And there have been sightings of craft. One man insists he has seen a being in that area.
Okay.
I mean, it sounds really strange and really wild, but it's a fact.
Okay, well, with all this notoriety, who visits your bar?
Absolutely everybody.
Okay, like base employees?
We have several that are either security guards or just personnel that work on the test site that come in here on a regular basis.
Uh-huh. And what do these base employees have to say about Area 51?
Absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
No. They really do not discuss it. And we don't push those people to do it because we know that that's their job and...
They're probably not going to tell you anything.
They're not going to anyway.
Of course
I mean,
not.
They can't for their own security.
Their lips are sealed.
That's it. We hear straggle stories, but nothing that I can pinpoint.
Kate, have you yourself seen anything strange in the skies around there?
We have watched a couple of objects in the sky that have been kind of different. We had one that somebody told me once it was Venus, and I pointed out, no, Venus is over there. And as we were leaving that night, this object was ground level. And the minute I told the girl about it, she had just enough time to see it. And like in the same sentence, she said, oh, my God, it's disappeared. It was just like that.
Wow.
And it wasn't like something had... Usually if something disappears or a light turns off, there's an afterglow. There was nothing. It's like it went behind a mountain. It just dropped into the mountain.
Mm-hmm. Well, Pat, what do you think's going on over there?
I honestly, my honest opinion is that there are alien beings and alien craft that are over there.
Okay, now how long have you been in the area there? How long have you lived?
6 years.
6 years? And what makes you come to that conclusion?
The people that have been here and talked about it.
Okay.
We have people from all over the world that come here and talk. And some of them from other countries don't realize that you can talk about UFOs or that we're even about UFOs until they get here. But they've had encounters in other countries, not just ours.
Uh-huh.
And people from all over that do a lot of research. Well, like next weekend, on the 20th, 21st, 22nd, we're going to have a UFO friendship camp out.
Okay.
Right here.
Where?
We have speakers, one coming from Biloxi, Mississippi, one from Juneau, Alaska, one from the San Diego, California area, one from San Bernardino, and three from Las Vegas. And Billy Goodman is going to be here.
Billy Goodman?
Yes.
Oh, boy. 1-800-UFO-2009, 1-800-836-2009. Our guest tonight is Pat Travis, owner of the Little Alien in Rachel, Nevada. So Billy Goodman's going to be there, huh?
Yes, he will be. It's kind of a welcome home at the end of it for him. He's just gone back to Vegas. And, you know, we need to talk people about the UFOs and about the things that's actually happening around our world.
For our listeners, Billy Goodman was a personality that basically... He was around when Bob Lazar came out of the closet and started talking about all this stuff.
That's where it started.
Bob Lazar has been a speaker up there at your place, hasn't he?
Yes, he has. And he apologized to me this time for not being able to be here. But things just didn't work out time-wise for him to be able to make the trip.
Uh-huh.
Which is okay. We still have his support behind us. He's a great person.
Okay. Yeah, he is. Very interesting guy. Pat, tell us a little bit about the UFO hunters that come up there. You know, the people that try to climb up the hills for a view of the base. You know, what kind of things do you see up there with these people?
Well, there's one area that you can climb. One area takes about an hour. The other takes 2.5 hours to hike up it. But you can actually see the Groom Lake facility from those particular places. They are right now attempting to take that portion of land, 4,000 acres, and I anticipate it to be at any given time.
Okay, now, will that affect your business? I mean,
I don't really feel it will because what we are here is an information exchange center. We've got great food. We've got ice-cold beer, you know, all the necessary things.
Right.
But the one thing that was just commented out in the front, do you realize... There are people from everywhere, and nobody is sitting around. Everybody's talking to one another. You go into a bar or a restaurant, most people won't even look at the people at the next table, let alone pick up a free conversation.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
And it is. And that's how Joe and I have learned. That's why we wanted to have this camp out next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So that people can actually talk to one another. Joe and I have heard so many different things from so many different people. We can't keep it all together. But we thought, my God, you know, all these people can be able to talk. And we do have these other speakers.
Give us directions up there to your place.
Well, it's 2.5 hours from Las Vegas. We are on Highway 375 in Rachel, Nevada.
Are you in Lincoln County up there?
Yes, we're Lincoln County. We're just 10 miles from the county, Nye County, Lincoln line.
I'm just curious how, you know, you hear a lot of stories about the interaction between these UFO observers and the sheriff's department. Is there a lot of friction between them and the sheriff?
I don't really feel that there is. Of course, some people attempt to overstep the boundaries or, you know, push the boundaries really close and give a little bit of hassle. But on a whole, I feel our Lincoln County sheriffs are really genuine in just our protection and nothing more.
Okay.
If the people do, you know, basically how we tell them, stay away from the borders. The closer, another thing, the closer you get to a mountain, the less you can see what comes up over the top of it.
Sure.
Where we have found a couple of really good viewpoints, nobody's ever hassled. The most that might happen is if one of our sheriffs go by, they may stop and ask them if they need some help or for identification. Mm-hmm. And it's for two reasons. We're in a remote area. If there's some strange person out there that needs, you know, that we need to be known, aware of, we'll find out.
Okay. 1-800-UFO-2009, 1-800-836-2009. Our guest is Pat Travis, owner of the Little Alien in Rachel, Nevada. And when we come back from our break, Pat, let's get some information about this campout that you're having next, I guess it's next weekend.
Yes,
sounds
it
like,
is.
Sounds like something that people should want to make some plans for. So we'll be right back after this break. You're listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum. I'm Michael Corbin.
The Paranet UFO Continuum, in conjunction with MICAP, the Multinational Investigations Cooperative on Aerial Phenomena, is pleased to offer a portable kit containing everything you need when you come across something unusual in the sky. This kit comes in a sturdy metal box with a lock and contains binoculars, microcassette recorder, FM walkie-talkies, water-filled compass, 16mm telephoto camera with 1600-speed film, sample bags, notebook, paper and pen, high-intensity flashlight, and official MICAP sighting report forms. The normal price of this complete kit is $289, but for a limited time, you can order it for only $250, plus $10 shipping and handling. To order, call Paranet at 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-UFO-NET-1. And ask for the UT-1 kit. Paranet, your window on the universe, with products and services unparalleled in the world today. Again, call 1-800-UFO-NET-1.
We didn't want a professional announcer for this message because we're trying to save the Earth. Don't get me wrong, having a professional announcer would be great, but that would have taken a big casting session with people driving from all over to get here, wasting a lot of gas and adding to the pollution. And the way we see it, if our ad isn't kind to the Earth, how can we ask you to be? Use cloth shopping bags. Buy recycled paper products. Switch to energy-saving light bulbs. Yeah, maybe they're little steps, but one little step leads to another. And pretty soon they're big steps. Look, I can't tug at your heartstrings or really lay it on thick like a real announcer, but I am taking the bus home. So maybe that'll help make up for it. Call EarthShare, 1-800-488-8887. This message was brought to you by EarthShare and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Paranet UFO Continuum. Whether or not you believe in UFOs, there's a lot about the subject you haven't heard. Stay tuned. Keep an open mind. Call in and join the discussion. Once again, here's your host, Michael Corbin.
And our number is 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009. Our guest is Pat Travis, owner of the Little Alien in Rachel, Nevada. Next weekend, Pat, you're having a camp out, so give us a little details about that.
Next weekend, we're having the UFO Friendship Camp Out. It's here at the Little Alien in Rachel.
Uh-huh.
We're on Highway 375. It costs $50 for the weekend, and that includes your meals from Friday night dinner through Sunday morning breakfast. We have 8 new speakers. These are not people that have been on a so-called circuit.
Okay.
And I think it will be really important. If any of your audience would like to call me for more information, the area code is 702-729-2515.
Do you guys do to-go orders?
Of course.
Real quick, give us
and I'll deliver them on my way on my vacation.
Well, I'd like to be there next weekend, but I don't think I can make it. But it sounds like a really interesting time. Who's going to be speaking? Can you give their names?
I can give you names. I have Alex Collier from San Diego, California. I have a Leland Richardson from San Bernardino. I have Bill Clendenin from Biloxi, Mississippi. I have Mark Farmer from Anchorage, Alaska. Well, Juneau, Alaska.
Uh-huh.
I have Cece and Brett from Las Vegas. I have a Bill Uhouse from Las Vegas. And Marcia Johnson, also of Las Vegas, is bringing a panel of people for question and answers, including teenagers.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, Pat, I want to thank you very much for being our guest tonight.
I want to thank you for having us.
And say hello to Billy for me, okay?
I'll do that.
Okay.
And you guys, come on out and see us. Everybody that's listening.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Pat. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Before we go off the air tonight, I wanted to give you a little bit of information about how you can go about getting information, some of the files that we carry on Paranet, if you do not use a computer and a modem. As we've mentioned before on the program, our network is one of the largest repositories of information on the paranormal and UFOs. If you'll grab a pen, I will tell you how to get a catalog of these files. You can write to us at P.O. Box 172, Wheat Ridge, Colorado, 80034-0172. That's Box 172, Wheat Ridge, Colorado, 80034-0172. And if you'll send $5 with a request for a catalog, we will send you a complete listing of all the files that we have. And if you place an order for any of those files, we will give you $3 of that $5 back. So be sure and give us this information, and we'll get you a catalog out because we do have a lot of interesting files. Okay, well, that just about wraps it up for us tonight. We will be back next week, and we hope to have some interesting calls, and we'll talk to you next week. Be sure to keep your eyes on the sky, and we will talk to you next week. Good night.